Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wonder what to do with your moon pies. Well, I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 12-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Drop, keep a screaming for more.
Dragon Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Wine's fully ordered, drinking wine.
Yay, wine's fully ordered, drinking wine.
Drinking something.
How ironic that song comes on after we just had our conversation off there that we just had. Anyway, welcome to the Sip and Chew Show.
I'm Sip.
I'm
Gotcha.
Don't mess me up. Hey, don't mess me up like that. But anyway, hey, welcome. It's a starting out to be a warm, beautiful Sunday morning. Yesterday started like that, and then got
deluged. Then we got relief.
Yes, we did. More relief than I wanted last night because we were trying
all
to get somewhere.
All these people complaining about this rain. A, you live in the rainiest city in America. It does this every single year.
Amen.
If it doesn't, it's a drought.
Yeah, well.
And two, enjoy it while you can because that August power bill, when we don't get a drop of rain, it's going to be about four times what you're paying right now.
Oh, yeah. So ours is high right now anyway.
Over six inches so far. Almost 7 inches in just this month alone.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yep. This is when I was a kid, played baseball at Manchie's Park right over here. We used to get so upset because it would rain every afternoon, and all our games kept getting canceled or postponed or rescheduled, and it was impossible to have a regular season because
of dog days.
There's nothing
worse than having a baseball season extended.
Well, nowadays, especially. I'm just not,
it just keeps
not
getting
the
hotter.
Fan. Yeah. It seems like it just keeps getting hotter. So I remember playing football for Davidson, and we'd get out there in August morning. The coach said, we do 2 days. And Coach Sklopan would say, do not eat breakfast before you come to practice because you're going to be doing push-ups in your breakfast if you do.
Exactly.
And I learned the first day, and he could tell who all ate breakfast that morning.
And they used to tell y'all back then, too, to put your leather helmet in the freezer overnight, and it'd be cooler the next day.
Well, actually, Davidson High School had the alcohol-packed helmets, had the pads of alcohol in there and to keep you cooler.
Hmm.
And we had clear acrylic helmets that were painted on the inside, and then they had alcohol pads up in there to keep our brains cooler. And
doesn't help.
stop the Dame damage.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't help.
But anyway, we learned not to eat breakfast in the morning, and then we ate breakfast after we got home, and then we'd come back at 3 or 4 in the afternoon and have afternoon practice.
I'm a rare breakfast person anyway. I even to this day,
I've gotten that way.
Well, it's very unhealthy. Enjoy yourself.
Well, when I fast, I'd rather have lunch.
I disagree with you. Not have dinner. Me, it works.
It was always worked for me. I went for years without ever eating breakfast.
Yeah, so did I, till I had an accident and my body needed that sugar to heal, and I almost passed out driving down the road.
Sure. I mean, again, there's...
And that's why the doctor said, eat breakfast every morning.
Yeah, everybody's different.
Exactly. No, anybody that would have went through what I went through
would have the same problem. Yeah, but that circumstance called for it.
Yeah.
I don't have
But you never know when you're going to be injured.
When I used to eat breakfast regularly, I had to eat all day.
Knocking on wood now, thanks, Stu.
I had to eat all day. I kept getting hungry all day. But when I finally stopped eating breakfast and just had a reasonable lunch and a reasonable dinner, I did fine.
That's what I was kind of getting at is, I'll nibble. I'm a bird. My mom said, you eat like a bird all day long. So I'll eat some grapes in the morning or
I'll
have some oatmeal.
I don't eat a huge breakfast. It's usually yogurt, a little bit of fruit, and some granola.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do that. But it's not a layout like, hey, I got to have eggs and 20 pancakes.
Unless you're working outside.
Yeah.
You know, the way we all used to 100 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That should be your biggest meal of the day if you're one of those people.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah. You want all your carbohydrates on the first meal of the day.
Yeah.
Burn them off. You want a high carbohydrate diet.
Yeah.
If you're working, actually working.
Physical,
which brings up the difference between having a job and working. Steve, where he has a job here, he doesn't work. And do you know how I know that? Because he's sitting down. Work, its base definition is the burning of calories through exertion.
Okay, now where does this working job fit in with mental? Because this is a mental job, I can promise you.
That's another thing that people always get. Well, my job is mentally taxing. No more so than anyone who's on their feet using their hands. Hand-eye coordination takes more of your brain power than reading an email.
What about you getting in and out of your pickup truck?
I think that's 80, all I do.
80 no, times no, a day. No.
But what I'm saying
is,
into
it here, buddy. Now,
but what I'm saying is, no matter
how videotape this, it could go viral.
No matter how mentally taxing your job is, if you're not doing it on the person that's doing a job on their feet, their job is every bit as mentally taxing as anyone who sits at a desk. Plus, they're on their feet and they're having to add feet and hand-eye coordination.
I would agree with that. That's why they call
it work. That's why I said there's a difference between a job and work.
Yeah.
A job sitting down. That's what you want.
Well, when
you don't have to work.
When you go to the gym, you don't do a job out. You do a workout.
Right, exactly.
That's where I burn my calories. Calories. Out.
Right. Yeah, but
There, you just got
right. I'm not saying you don't, that you're not contributing and that you're not earning and efforting.
I'm just saying,
if it's a job where you sit down predominantly, it's not work.
But isn't that the most common definition is when people get approached, they get all defensive. It's like, stop, you know? There's a logical thing that we can
assume. You know, words have specific meaning.
Imagine that.
Just because this is a synonym for that doesn't mean they have the same meaning.
Exactly.
It means it's close enough in definition that a writer or a poet can use it instead.
Like rational and justified. You'd be surprised how often people freaking use it interchangeably. Yeah. And it's like, no, they mean different word things.
Yeah.
You can't justify yourself.
And I bring that back into food because here in America, we call a lot of stuff the wrong thing.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Like it's
champagne.
Not
like champagne.
Yeah.
What
exactly. Great example.
Industry. Champagne.
There are no hibachi grills in America.
Yeah, like cookie.
Yeah, sweet. It's not a restaurant.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's a teppanyaki. A hibachi is a small thing that goes on your table.
A teppanyaki.
Yeah, teppanyaki is what the Japanese steakhouse is called.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's and we call things like that all the time. And I've had people go, well, why do the Japanese restaurants call it that? They know what the language is. There aren't hardly any Japanese restaurants owned by Japanese. In this town, pretty much every Asian restaurant is owned by someone who's Vietnamese, Cambodian, or Thai.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They know that we are too dumb to know the difference.
It's called Americanized.
Yeah.
Right.
And speaking of that, I was just talking to Michael before we went on air. Opening up soon is going to be a banh mi restaurant. Now, there are restaurants that serve banh mi, the famous Vietnamese po' boy. Is what call them in New Orleans, Vietnamese po' boy.
Ah.
But there are restaurants who serve it, but this one's going to specialize in it, which means you can go in and get a banh mi with like one of a dozen different proteins on it.
Oh, very cool.
And
what is the bread they serve it on?
It is French bread.
I'm sorry.
This is one of the earliest fusion dishes.
Well, what's that little folded thing that looks like it's angel food cake? It's so fluffy.
You're talking about the, until you asked me, I could have said it. But I know,
I'll tell you back.
Yeah. It's the steam buns, but they have a name.
They're really white.
Yeah, they're steam buns. That's because that bread is steamed, not baked in an oven.
Oh,
so there's
cool.
No browning to go on. I'm just drawing a blank to the name, so Mike, say something and I'll look it up.
Okay. Well, talking about jobs
Bao buns.
Bao buns, okay.
What's it called?
Bao buns.
Spell it.
B-A-O.
A bao.
Yeah. Okay. And then buns is an American word.
Bao buns. Okay.
Yeah. So it's probably just bao over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And it's a fluffy?
It looks very like angel light food in there. Cake.
It looks because like it's steam. The steam makes it rise right. instead of a yeah. yeast reaction like in regular bread. Uh-huh. So it's very light and airy, almost no flavor. I'm believing that, but what you put in them. Try squid ink. They usually have some mm-hmm. bao buns yeah. going on okay. there.
Well, I see them a lot of places I've been to. Yeah.
What's the noodle place? Slurp Society.
Slurp Society.
Bet you can get them there.
251-343-0106 is the call-in and text-in line. Love to hear from you.
Mike Bailey, Stuart Reb Donald, devoted to the complete gastronomic experience.
I want a big butter and egg man.
Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
So Stu.
Yes, sir.
Sad news in the culinary gastronomic world. Absolutely. The other day. I loved watching her when she came on the scene on Food Network. And, you know, not as, it's, I'm not downsizing her death in any way, but, you know.
You want to mention her name so that people know who you're talking
about? I'm sorry, Ann Burrell.
Yeah, Food Network fame.
And she had the big spiked white hair.
Yeah.
And she was
sassy. Looked like Guy Fieri's twin sister.
Could have been. Yeah. Could have been. Yeah. But, you know, it was sad that it happened, you know. Mm-hmm. To me, losing Anthony Bourdain and Charlie Trotter and all them were mm-hmm. devastating like mm-hmm. it was. But she was... She was. It was a great loss for the culinary world because she really changed things at the network. I think for the good. Yeah. And she was fun and she was sassy yeah. and I hate to see her go. Really did. Yeah. And it's sad.
And her motto was "Brown food tastes good."
What was it?
Brown food tastes good. It doesn't look pretty on a plate in a high-end restaurant in New York, but a piece of brown chicken with some brown gravy. And a brown biscuit
mm-hmm.
tastes good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was the emphasis. You know, her thing was one of the things that she introduced me to was fennel pollen to coat pork chops in and then grill them.
Well, you know what? Pollen? Fennel pollen?
The pollen from fennel.
Hmm. Well, you know, I'm having pork chops tonight. And I was going to do
good luck find some fennel pollen.
Well, I've got fennel.
Yeah.
Fennel seed.
Yeah, not the same thing, but you could grind it and put it into mm-hmm. a rub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I was thinking, but a brown gravy.
Yeah.
But know, over yeah. rice.
Yeah. But fennel pairs really well with a pork.
Mm-hmm.
Also seafood. I'd gotten into it. I did a seafood dish called pesce infinati,
mm-hmm.
which is Sicilian. And it's usually... just fish banked on top of onions with drizzled with olive oil and some herbs. And I saw a variation where you could slice fennel bulb.
Hmm.
So I did fennel bulb and the onion. And you kind of brown off the fennel bulb and the onion first, then lay the fish fillets on top of it, put in the oven about 20 minutes.
Hmm.
And when it comes out, you drizzle it with a little more olive oil, and it's terrific. And very healthy, but Sicily is an island.
Right.
Off the coast of Italy. So most of their cuisine is seafood.
Yeah.
Sicilian style. With the one thing that they're known for that isn't seafood is deep dish pizza. When Pizza Hut first came out with their pan pizza, they called it Sicilian style.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only place in Italy where you had pizza that wasn't thin crust.
Right.
And but there's a lot of names that we've heard going back to what we were talking about in the last section. One of them is Parmesan. And people hear veal or chicken or eggplant Parmesan, and they think that means it has Parmesan cheese on it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't.
No.
It has mozzarella. It's called Parmesan because it comes from the Parma region of Italy, which is where Parmesan Reggiano cheese comes from.
Mm, my favorite.
Parmesan means in the style that they do in Parma.
Right.
Florentine. We've all heard Florentine. We think, oh, that means spinach, which... is basically what we're doing. Spinach is a huge dish in the Florence region of Italy. So that is whatever you're doing in the Florentine style by adding spinach to it.
That being said, in France,
yes.
Merlot, Cabernet, Malbec, whatever, that's grown in Bordeaux is Bordeaux.
Right.
Not Cabernet.
Not known by the varietal. They're known by the region.
By the region. Right. There is only, I'll have to think of the grape. I forget. There's only one grape that comes out of there that the town is named after the grape instead of the grape instead being the named the other way around. Right. I'll remember what it
but
is.
But with Italian wines, it's different, isn't it? Because there's not a Chianti region, is there? And that's a Sangiovese grape.
Well, it's that primarily, yeah, a Sangiovese. But
we sound in all sense. Sangiovese.
You got the Italians like went crazy with you know their cross pollination and grafting and all that of their damn grapes, and they got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of varietals that are you know, they're like a Frankenstein monster, some of them, because they just put pieces of this and that and they graft them and they
so that's everything's a blend.
Hybrid them and it comes from the plant that way. So
right, but I'm saying but
they
essence,
altered the genetics on the plant.
You
start
your blend on the seed.
Yeah, and it's like
I enjoy Italian wines.
I can't keep up with how many different styles of wine they have, varietals. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. They confuse me more than anything.
Yeah.
They really
interesting.
Do.
I didn't know that you know, the regionality applied to wines as well. I knew it applied to foods.
Right.
Well, it does in France.
Right. Different cultures here.
Yeah.
Similar, but different. Uh-huh. Both Latin-based. The Italians taught the French how to cook. Their food in France was terrible before some French aristocrat married one of the
Italian aristocrats, huh?
Yeah, Catherine de' Medici, the de' Medici family, which employed Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo, and all the Ninja Turtles worked for this one family. And when Catherine de' Medici went to France, she found the food horrible. The French will say, that's not what happened.
You could say the
but everyone else knows. She got there, said the food was terrible, brought some Italian chefs over, and they helped France turn into
but does it China?
So the French food was in the sewer, is what we're saying.
It was just more like England.
Does it China?
It's food to sustain, not food to taste good.
But isn't Chinese food, doesn't it have a great influence of France?
The other way around. Chinese influences everything in Europe.
I don't know. I've been watching Confucius, the show
Vietnam
Confucius.
Is the huge French influence on the Asian cuisine. We were talking about that, the banh mi. Banh is the French word for bread.
And Anthony Bourdain, I think he loved Vietnam more than anywhere on earth except for New Orleans.
My interactions with Vietnamese people, they're the best people on earth. They are what Americans are supposed to be. Hardworking. They care about their kids. They care about their education. They just do things. They just, you know, they got to work 10 hours a day, 6 days a week.
It's called a core of values is what that's called.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's why they are doing so well achieving the American dream, is because they're attending to the core values that this country was built on.
Well, the model that was established, and then,
right,
you know, we kind of went a different way, right?
Right. But banh mi, what I was talking about is fusion. That is the idea of a sandwich on bread that came from France.
Mm-hmm.
And the ingredients are Vietnamese, with the exception of one ingredient, pork pate, used as a condiment, spread on the bread, and then whatever you're. And a lot of times they won't put any protein in, it's just the pate and all the vegetables. But
so what's that pate made of?
Pork liver.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just standard pork liver pate.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing
special.
Now,
what goes into pate? Is there an oil that you mix with that? Or?
It is the I have made beef liver pate before, and as I recall, it was a long time ago, and Simon Majumdar pointed out I left out two key ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
But it's generally, it's a low, slow cook on the beef, on the liver, and you mash it all up. You tend to add a little cream to it.
Okay.
Which I forgot, and cognac, which I forgot. But I had the mashed up liver thing, and it just had a really strong beef liver.
In the average household, we just don't have a bottle of cognac sitting around.
No. So, no, you don't. But
if you do, you're going to have
it
for 30
years. But I was
the
chef at a pub. I had access to cognac, and it was a dish I was doing representing the pub. So I had it. I just forgot to put it in.
Oh, okay.
Because I had five different recipes I was throwing together for our components that I was having to throw together for this challenge that we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, those things slipped through the cracks.
It can't happen.
That's why things like Iron Chef are really, really hard.
Yeah.
Is because
they make it look easy, but it ain't.
Yeah. And it's different than what you saw. It's not really. They have an hour, that time limit. That's to cook one presentation dish.
Right.
Once they do the presentation dish, then they go to the kitchens and they cook the dishes that go to the judges. So instead of it being an hour or two taping, it's all day to do a one-hour episode.
It's easy to forget things. I stew a vouch for this. In a gumbo competition, I forgot to put okra. Mm-hmm. In my gumbo.
No,
got disqualified.
The old cardinal sin, man.
DQ'd.
Well, it was the alternative category.
Shit, well, you alternated, yeah.
But I could have won the butter bean category.
Yeah.
Butter beans.
So, butter bean gumbo.
You should have put on there that it was butter bean shaped okra.
Identifies.
It's butter beans that identifies. It identifies. There you go.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mess those days. 251-340-1006 is the call and text in line. Somebody, please.
Holler at it.
I know you're not at the beach right now already this soon.
For more than a decade, Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
I don't smoke, I don't shoot smack, but I got a spicy monkey riding on my back. Don't eat pancakes, too much sugar.
Okay.
Well, our buddy Steve here, a producer, asked a question of us because he has, I believe he said your brother is coming
cousin,
down.
A cousin
is coming down. Did you say in August?
Coming around October from Key West.
Oh, okay.
She's from Key West, yeah.
Okay.
So she's going to be hard to impress.
We'll do our best, man. We'll do our best. But this is something that is very topical for this time of year, and that's places to dine on the water.
Right.
And so we both suggested two of Panini Pete's places, Sunset Point and the Waterfront. Both awesome food, great views with the water and everything that. But there's a whole lot more.
There is that.
There is indeed. You're more familiar with the places in Baldwin County, but Floribama would get a good view. Anything on Fort Morgan.
Now, as far as it's across from Gambino's there in Fairhope, but the American Legion 199, they have shows, music shows.
Nice little beach there.
Concerts. Yeah. Very nice beach. Yeah. Great view of the sunset, especially in the fall. Oh my God! Yeah. And as any place, you got
the Pier in Fairhope too. What is that restaurant right there? And
is there one currently open on it? It opens, it closes.
Blind Tiger.
That's it.
They're trying to get it reopened before the 4th.
Okay.
They went ahead and closed the parking down to finish the final touches for all the new waterfront stuff they did.
Right.
And so you got the Blind Tiger there. That'd be a great place. God, what's the place there as you get off the I-10, get off the Bayway on the right?
Oh, yeah, the Cajun place, Boudreaux's.
Yeah, Boudreaux's. Boudreaux's is a great view.
Yeah. Should have thought of
it's
that.
Hard to set out. Sorry, it's hard to set outside during the summer. But but if you go out there for a little while, you know, when you drink your hand like the
– Yeah, you got some fans going.
You got some fans going. You can watch the sunset. The problem, you know, the heat of the sun is hitting you directly as it's going down.
At the restaurants you originally, the Waterfront and Panini Pete Sunset, what is there a specific dish maybe I could suggest?
At Sunset Point, I suggest everyone get the grilled snapper throats.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. The throat and the cheeks are the best parts of pretty much any animal. But because... Mm. They're a little tricky to work with.
Like turkey neck.
Well, yeah. But the flesh is delicious.
Hmm.
But it's not as pretty looking on the plate. And the snapper throat has one very large, easy-to-find bone in it. And I mean, it's quite large. It's like three-pronged and about almost a half inch wide.
Wow.
I mean, it's easy to find, and there's just the one. But that grilled snapper throat is one of the best dishes on the Gulf Coast. It is phenomenal. Pete will always be doing things. He's got a great team there. They're very creative, so they'll be running specials. It's very seafood-oriented. In fact, when Pete opened it up, he didn't want to do any fried seafood at all. And I, when I asked why, he said, there are a lot of restaurants in Mobile, in Baldwin County, that do fried seafood, and they do a spectacular job of it.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted to introduce people to other ways to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can get the snapper throats fried now. That's one of the options. They have a few other things. But, yeah, the grilled snapper throats. As far as the waterfront goes, Mike and I have only been, and both times they were running special menus. Or was it three times? There was a grand opening.
Well, I've been
Guy Fieri, and then the thing we
I went to Pete's birthday party, and then I was there recently for, what was that event? Well, we were both there.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the fundraiser for the Veterans
Ranch. That's right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's always been a special menu. But I've been there for other times. I've been there when it was Yacht Club. It always had a great sunset.
Mm-hmm.
Always had a great sunset. The Bluegill has they have a great sunset that you get the not the bay, but you get the delta.
Delta side. Of the side.
So on delta side. So you
and there
the
you're going to get the charbroiled oysters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you get the delta in the sunset, and you get the backdrop of Mobile. You get all that at once. And it's pretty. It really is pretty.
Yeah. It's funny because in the 50s and 60s, the Causeway was the place
to
in
go.
This area.
Yeah.
My parents used to go and see the Four Tops and the Spinners performing at restaurants there.
Mm. My parents did too. I thought as a young kid, I thought the Causeway was Vegas because they had so many neon signs.
Yeah, it used to be lit up. And there was no Bayway then,
and,
so that was the main trick. And then when they opened Bel Air Mall is when business started shifting from downtown Mobile and the Causeway out further
west.
Then the Causeway kind of died off.
Well,
and you pretty much had what?
A couple of hurricanes had something to do with it, too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And then there was a resurgence about 20 years ago. Well, now it's dying again.
Yeah.
Seems to be.
Yeah.
Because Bluegill's nice. I've been to Bluegill.
Yeah, Bluegill's okay. The Pier 4's still there, but you've had.
Our buddy Steve Sucker is now the general manager at Ralph and Cacu's.
Which is good because
they've got a great view of the sunset, too.
I have not been to this Ralph and Cacu's. It's from New Orleans.
Okay.
They have installments as far as Dallas, Texas.
Oh, wow.
One of my favorite restaurants in New Orleans. But all I ever heard from the one here in Mobile was it's. Everything else on the Causeway is better. It's just okay.
Huh.
So they didn't have a New Orleans chef here. They had someone else who probably didn't understand our cuisine, that if they're trying to do our cuisine, is going head-to-head with all these other great places. Steve is a phenomenal chef.
Mm-hmm.
If you've eaten at Bob Omhauer's restaurants over the last 20 years, you've eaten there. If you've been to Dolphins, Steve was the chef at Dolphin.
He's the executive chef.
And the executive chef over all of Bob Baumhauer's restaurants,
For over 20 years.
Yeah, it was a reward to him for all the wing shacks and stuff that he set up.
Now, Dolphins, I like Dolphins.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's outstanding as well with an incredible view there that can't be matched anywhere else in the area.
Yeah.
I mean, you're up the second tallest building in the city,
mm-hmm.
you know, 47th floor looking down
it's all
at the bay to the Mississippi Sound. And
yeah.
So there's another great view right there. I love any kind of restaurant that you can get to without a car. If you can kayak to it, if you can take your bass boat to it, if you, you know, like that. And we have a lot of those. Most of the stuff on the Causeway is like that. I don't think that Felix's has an access by boat, but Bluegill you can. In fact, the original Bluegill was not owned by Cooper's Restaurants. It was not located where the Bluegill is now. It was on the Apalachee River, and it was a shack over the water.
Is that domed shack?
No.
That's a different one.
It predates that, too.
Oh, wow.
And my dad said you could see the water from the delta between the cracks of the boards on the floor.
Oh, wow.
And it was called the bluegill because even though bluegill, which is a game fish, mm-hmm. and it's illegal to serve game fish at a restaurant. It's why you don't see bass or crappie or bluegill there. Because if they commercially fished them, they'd fish the populations.
Yeah.
So they're left for game fishermen. The bluegill would let you pull up on your boat after a fishing trip, and you could bring up some of your bluegill, and they fry it up for you.
Very cool.
Yeah. They were doing that you catch it, we cook it thing decades before anyone else did.
Now, you got the pier houses there now that used to be El Camino, the right. place with the basketball course.
Which was a
course.
Great Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
Volleyball, Mike.
Volleyball, yeah. And
there's one on the right.
But they're leaving Gulf Shores. They've got a place at Gulf Shores, the pier house, and they took over that place, and they're leaving Gulf Shores because – you know, during the summer, it dies. Just absolutely dies down there.
Off-season.
Yeah. During the winters down there, it dies. So now they're coming up here where they can get traffic year-round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they actually do have a good view there.
There was a place called Fork and Fin. It was down in Orange Beach. Mm-hmm. They were awesome. But they ran into some problems, apparently, with the building's cost every month and the rentals and stuff and the lease.
It was owned by the ships.
And then they went to Pensacola. Now they don't even exist.
They're over in their back ship's harbor restaurant.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that Matt Ship?
They're back, Matt Ship.
Yeah, Dr. Bob's son. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Very good chef.
Man, they're mocking.
I'm hearing nothing but great things about the new place, Ship's. I think it's Harbor Restaurant or something.
Matt is a phenomenal chef.
He is. And when Matt came to town after going to culinary school and working for the best chefs in New Orleans and some other places, he came here and he was really disheartened because it didn't matter what he tried to cook, everybody wanted it fried. They wanted fried seafood.
Man, I was ready to leave Mobile. Because everybody wanted every restaurant to have the same menu. They went to Olive Garden, but they wanted it to be Cracker Barrel.
Or Applebee's.
Yeah. They went to Applebee's, they wanted it to be Cracker Barrel.
Right.
They went to Wenzel's, they wanted it to be Cracker Barrel. And I was so ready to leave Mobile, and then people noticed Food Network and started seeing that there was more to food than just the same five dishes you've eaten your entire life.
Well, it's like the mahi, man. The mahi's got this edible purple flour and the asparagus they do it and the mashed potatoes. Oh, my gosh. I could eat that once a month, twice a month, and be happy all day long.
Yeah. I get a little crab legs. I hardly order baked or grilled seafood out because I've been served so many times undercooked seafood.
Well, here's the thing. Seafood can't be undercooked. It's impossible. It's ready to eat the second you pull it out of the water.
There's that, yes. Yeah. But
but you like a firmer texture.
I want a firmer texture, and I don't want all where the guts used
to be.
You want
it burnt is what you're saying.
No, I don't want it burnt.
You want it burnt.
I want it cooked and edible.
Let's see if we can get Jarhead in here and let him know. Good morning, Jarhead.
Hey, guys.
Hey, everybody.
Y'all are talking about places to eat on the water, and I was wondering if you've ever been to the original Ezell's Catfish House.
In Choctaw County, Alabama? Coffeeville? Yeah.
Yes, somewhere up around there. I knew it was up around Jackson, Nicholsville, somewhere up there.
It's at Coffeeville near the Lock and Dam.
Yeah.
And yes, I have when I was a little kid.
Awesome. Yes, been about that long since I've been there, too. Mm-hmm. But they used to have the best catfish.
Yes, absolutely. My dad was from Gilberttown in Choctaw County, and we would drive up there every few years just to sit there on the river. I believe it's on the Tom Bigby. And
way above the Tom Bigby. I mean,
yeah, it is.
Maybe the Alabama then?
I just looked it up Thursday. I just looked it up Thursday see where it was
fantastic.
At.
Great hush puppies. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Originally, Ezell's Catfish Cabin was phenomenal. All right. We got to go to commercial. You want to give us a provolone before you say goodbye?
Provolone.
All right.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Of them are ringing and the dock is singing down on Mobile Bay. Stars are brightly shining and my heart is pining for the south each day. My sweetheart is waiting, cute and fascinating. Well,
They are the dynamic duo of dining. Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. Call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hey, that's us.
So
tell me.
Ate catfish last night. We're talking about Ezel's because I'm intrigued. I do want to go to Ezel's to try it.
Yeah.
I had catfish last night.
At Rocky Creek in Loosedale, Mississippi.
It was. We were on our way there, and then all of a sudden the sky just dropped on us.
I saw that same storm.
And
I was at work.
Like, and unbelievable how it rained, and then the place was, everybody was wet on the inside. I got cold, but the food was still delicious, and I had pecan pie.
Yeah.
For my dessert.
Yeah.
So
it's a beautiful drive. Once you get off of 98,
mm-hmm.
that country drive is very nice. You go down Rocky Creek Road for probably a couple of miles, mm-hmm. and then you hang a right on another road. I don't remember the name. And then you're just in the middle of this Mississippi rolling farmland.
Yeah.
And there's a catfish
beautiful,
house on one
beautiful,
side.
Beautiful area.
The building itself is not gorgeous, but it's a catfish house.
I talked
house.
To Mr. Jimmy, who owns it, and he's had it for 29 years, he
yeah,
said.
Yeah, it is.
So he was a very pleasant gentleman. And
probably seats, would you say about 500? Right in there.
He probably
area.
Can.
Yeah.
They had some other rooms.
Yeah, there are lots of rooms. Yeah. Graduation for George County High School, they get wrapped up.
Yeah. They had some big parties last night.
Yeah. And I told Mike on his next excursion, he doesn't have to go quite as far as Loosedale.
Mm-hmm.
It's Loaves and Fishes in Tanner Williams.
I'm going to go there next.
And they are equally as good. I like their catfish batter better, but my buddy Kevin likes Rocky Creek's catfish
batter.
Well,
let me tell you what. Thursday, I guess I'm on a catfish craze. Thursday. No, Friday, I went to Clovis Cafe in Fairhope.
Mm-hmm.
She's from Memphis.
Tania
is from Memphis, and she has catfish or spaghetti on there. And I like mine together.
Is it Memphis spaghetti, which is made with barbecue and pulled pork?
I don't know. But just regular spaghetti. But I like my catfish and
your spaghetti and together.
But I didn't do it this time.
Yeah.
But the catfish, huge pieces. Mm. Deliciously battered and seasoned.
Oh, and you said she was getting hers out of a farm in Mississippi?
Yeah, she gets hers out of Mississippi Delta farm over there. And I've driven through some of those farms, and they're quite impressive.
Yeah.
And the other thing that they have, those catfish farms have, are crawfish.
Right.
And they're just they got signs that say crawfish crossing. And and you can just drive, you have to ride over them. Because there's millions of them in the road. You just got to keep going.
Wow. Mud bugs, man. It's just insects.
That's it.
Yeah.
So is that roadkill?
Have you ever heard of Cajun roadkill stew?
No.
When they were going to their hunting shacks, way out away from everything, every time they saw a dead animal in the road, they would stop and spray paint a circle around it. They'd get all the way to their hunting camp, and then whoever the newbie was had to go back a couple of miles, and everything that didn't have a circle around it was fresh.
Oh, my gosh.
Gather that up, bring it in, we'll make stew out of it.
Wow.
Could be raccoon, could be rabbit, could be squirrel.
Armadillo. I've had some armadillo.
I've not had armadillo. Luke tried to get in a fight with one the other night on a wall. He wanted a piece of that armadillo, and I'm like, you ain't going to get any part of it.
No, no. Yeah, that was an interesting taste.
And I can imagine.
Put some Creole seasoning with it back.
I bet you, David Hubble, tell us if they've had at the boucherie over at John Foltz's place over in Baton Rouge, outside of Baton Rouge, that they've had armadillo over there. And I know we've had rooster and
I've had raccoon. It's one of those, it's like, if you're starving, it's fine.
Yeah.
But I know why they have all those seasonings and spices that the Cajuns
use.
That's
right.
Well, the raccoon really... The biggest thing with the raccoon is they're just a pain to kill. They've got 17 of these little nodes all around their body, and if you don't get those out, it's just like eating pure adrenaline.
Oh, nice.
And
And
the flavor's not that good. It's even milder than chicken.
Why,
so, yeah, it's a starvation thing.
Now, there is a restaurant over in Alberta called Roadkill Cafe.
Yes.
They have a buffet over there.
Yeah. I bet they got sausage on the menu.
I could.
Because that Alberta is a good town to get. It's like every little convenience store you walk into. Oh, we got a sausage counter here too.
Mm-hmm. Imagine that.
Oh, you go to Robertsdale and you go to Red's Hot Dogs. And he's got
something
the,
called a sausage festival.
Yeah, they have two a year. Two a year.
One's Oktoberfest. The other one is the Alberta Sausage Festival.
But you go to Red's Hot Dogs, and he has an Alberta sausage on the menu. He's got a German sausage.
Is it Kelly's made in Alberta?
I don't know.
Yeah, with the four leaf clover on it. And folks, with your eyes closed, you can't tell Kelly's from Kanaka.
Really?
Yeah, they look and taste almost identical. If you're that fixated on it, it's there's so many great. We are blessed to live in a region that the rest of the country doesn't have, where we take smoked sausage seriously. Alabama, Mississippi, parts of Louisiana. The rest of the country is eating Oscar Mayer and thinking that's smoked sausage.
Or it's Johnson. Kind of like the Pepsi Coke test, Yeah.
Or Johnson.
Yeah, Johnsonville.
Isn't it owned by Chinese?
I don't know. It's based out of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Wisconsin.
Sounds cheesy.
I ate at a place this week, more up Steve's alley, but you should do it one day when you want a healthy lunch, but you want to cheat and have dessert. Soul Bowls in Spring Hill has two things on their menu, bowls and smoothies.
Right.
But they're all based in what's called superfruits, like dragon fruit, acai. Right. Yeah. The one always gets an acai bowl. They start with the frozen fruit pureed, so it's basically like sherbet.
Mm-hmm.
Put that in the bottom of the bowl, and then they have different things
grains
they top it with. They have a flaxseed granola, which is their granola. They drizzle a little honey on it. There's one in Fairhope as well, and I think one in Gulf Shores. Yep. It is just so good and so refreshing.
And it's filling.
Right. And I don't know how someone would eat the large bowl.
I don't either.
I get the small every time I'm there, and I'm like, that's just perfect.
And you're done till at least 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get it at 8,
Yeah. And boy, if you've been out doing stuff in the hot, hot sun, man, it's really, refreshing. Really refreshing.
But what about Empanada Mobile right next door?
Have not tried it. Empanada.
Huh?
Yeah, Empanada.
No, NOLA. It's NOLA because they're out of New Orleans, I think.
Oh. Have not tried it, but if they're doing New Orleans-style hand pies.
They're hand pies, and they got their names, whatever the meat pie is or whatever.
I guess I'll have to try that.
It's branded on the pie.
I guess I know where I'm going when I leave Butch's tomorrow.
Let's see if they're open tomorrow.
Well, it's Monday. Yeah. I hope so. Today would be the day I don't think they would be open. But I do encourage people, the Soul Bowls, that's really, really good.
Yeah, I got introduced to them a couple years back, and
Same here.
They're worth it.
Yeah, and like I say, it's a case where you can have lunch, dessert for lunch. Oh, beef Argentina. But it's a place where you can have dessert for lunch and not feel guilty. I always joke when people call into a bar restaurant, and they're ordering lunch. Go, what can I get for you for lunch? I just want a piece of key lime pie. And I always tell them, do you ever go, don't worry, sweetheart, you'll meet somebody one day.
that'll buy your lunch.
No, that's usually when someone's eating a dessert for their meal, they're sad. They usually have just broken up with somebody.
Yeah.
The whole, I'm going to eat a whole gallon of
ice cream
Ben and Jerry's ice cream thing.
Yeah.
So that's the joke there. Don't worry, sweetheart. You'll meet somebody one day.
I won't even go there. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to leave it right where it lays, right there.
Three bachelors sitting there. Folks, get out there. Support local. Be local. Buy local.
Sniff local.
Sniff local. Eat catfish local.
Yeah.
Eat that Mississippi catfish.
Alabama catfish, too. Heartland
and
Farms
eat,
out of
and
Tuscaloosa.
Eat steak, like this song says.
Oh, and one more thing. Eat provolone. Farm when you throw a few ribeyes on the farm. Roberta Duran ate two before a fight, 'cause it gives a mighty man an awful lot of mighty life.